Good day. My name is Michelle. Welcome to the Business Report on Nova. Last week, Namibia was the host country to the annual General Assembly of CAFE. That's the Consortium for Africa Funds for the Environment. Locally, there's a Namibian company called the Conservation Trust of Namibia. And that company is the member to CAFE. And it hosted about 100 people from 35 different countries last week in Swakop, including African and non-African countries. So today with me, I have the CEO of the CCFN, that is the Piwa Mapiwa, to talk to us about the opportunities and challenges that are facing these non-profit, non-governmental organizations like the CCFN that are managing funds for the environment and for the community. So welcome to Piwa, and thank you for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Good morning, Namibia.
Good. Let's start off by how many registered conservancies does Namibia have?
Namibia has about 86 communal conservancies at the moment, Michelle, and about 45 community forests. There are also two associations which operate very similar ways to conservancies, and there are quite a number of other conservancy bodies made up of communities. We call them CBOs, community-based organizations. Such as fish reserves and others that are coming up at the moment.
So basically, it's an area in the country with or without people that are then registered by law to be a conservancy.
That is correct. There is a set of regulations on how one can, or a group of members living in that area can register as a community and what they must have and how they must then manage that area in line with specified conservation ethos for them to be registered as a conservancy.
Okay, so on the conservation efforts. Okay, so for CCFN, some of your main donors include the KfW from Germany as well as the World Wildlife Fund. What are the main activities of the CCFN that they drive on the back of the funding that they receive?
Thank you, Michelle. So at the moment, we are doing quite a lot of work in trying to assist communities to mitigate human-wildlife conflict in their areas. Namibia is blessed with a lot of wildlife, but this wildlife brings with it some certain challenges. We're also doing some work in ensuring that we support financially communities doing these activities to pay their legal costs. There's quite a number of legalities that go into this business, and communities are not always well equipped for this. In the long term, we wish and are aiming to be supporting what we call critical support services, which is a suite of various activities related to natural resource management. So doing your game counts in the communities, paying your community game guards when there's a funding gap, business enterprise and livelihoods, basically supporting new business ventures related to the environment in that community. They could also be related to tourism. We're also actually partly doing this already with some of the funding that we have. We also want to support and are supporting, in fact, institutional development. So that's capacity building, a hosting of annual general meetings within the communities to ensure there's consensus, drafting of the benefits distribution plans, financial management audits within these so that we make sure that the funds that we give them are accounted for correctly. So it's a range of activities that encompass natural resource management, business enterprises and livelihoods for the community members and institutional development.
Yeah, and then you haven't mentioned now the human-wildlife conflict. Maybe just a quick sentence on that.
All right. We also do fund a lot of work, as I mentioned, on human-wildlife conflict. So this could be assisting communities with predator-proof crawls, collaring of lions so that they can be traced and putting geofences so that there are warning systems that tell the community members where the lions are, and they can then graze their animals in a different part of the area or at least protect them in the crawls. We do water infrastructure. Elephants cause a big challenge when there is no water in the area, and therefore we do a lot of boreholes across the country. We've done over 100 boreholes and equip them with solar systems so that it becomes cheaper for communities to pump water, both for their livestock, for their livelihoods, and for the elephants as well.
Yes. Okay, so back to the conference then last week in Swakop, one of the hot topics were governance. And many of the countries actually had questions on whether government and donors should have a seat at the boardroom table. Where is CCFN on this, and what would you say are some of the challenges and benefits?
Certainly, Michelle. I mean, just like in any other conference, there's always some really topical issues, and we had some good debate. So you're right. The issue of governance in terms of independence of conservation trust funds was a topical matter, specifically pointing around should governments be on the board, but also should donors be on the board, and should beneficiaries be on the board? The general answer, I think, consensus after a lot of the arguments was it is advisable that to the best way possible, CTFs remain independent. At CCFN, we do have a government representative who is appointed by the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. Our relationship there is working very, very well, because the responsibility of that particular representation is to ensure alignment with government regulations. But it's currently 1 out of 10 of those of the board members. So independence is still guaranteed because the other 9 are basically independent individuals. Yes. And then when it comes to
just for our listeners then, a CTF is a conservation trust fund, right?
That is correct. Conservation trust fund.
Okay. And then in Namibia, the EIF? That is a government organization, right? It falls under the Ministry of Finance. That's not an NGO, a non-government.
That is correct, Michelle. We have the EIF, which is definitely the arm of government created by an act of parliament. In essence, it is actually also a conservation trust fund. But from a governance perspective, this is fully under the control of the government.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Let's get further to the conference. How would you summarize the key highlights and learnings from the conference?
So the beauty about it is we themed the topic of this, the theme of this year's conference around CBNRM in Namibia, and I think the outcomes are quite positive. People were very much pleased with what's going on, and they were willing to learn. Of course, we also got people to share their experience in the country, and I think there was a unanimous decision, or at least a feeling, that CBNRM is pretty much a very good model towards us achieving as a global entity the goals towards.
Let me just ask, for the benefit of our listeners, you use a lot of acronyms, so CBNRM and why that's beneficial?
Thank you. So CBNRM is Community-Based Natural Resource Management Program. So it's a little bit of a different model to do conservation. A lot of people would be used to national parks, a quick decision, obviously never quick, but a decision to enclose an area as a national park. Whilst community-based natural resource management embeds the people, the community, to use and gives the right to the community itself to use their natural resources sustainably for their benefit. And with that, it brings a lot of other additional benefits in terms of employment creation in the community, ownership around their own natural resources, and a lot of income that is actually coming to do developmental projects in these particular communities.
So would you then say from the conference last week, some of those 35 countries have actually learned from us in terms of good ways to do this?
Certainly. This was actually the biggest attendant cafe. And I think it is testament to the fact that people were willing to learn and wanted to come to Namibia to learn. But from the comments, from the evaluation comments we received, that is one of the quick outcomes that we got, that people have learned something and would love us to share more, so that they can equally try and implement similar programs in their countries. Another one that came out was generally the call for CTFs internationally to try and ensure that some of their funding that they receive is invested locally. Quite a lot of our challenges in Africa mean that we get a lot of money from philanthropists from outside the world, Europe and America, the global north, as we would generally refer to it as. But most of it is then invested there, and only the returns are used locally. So there was a call from quite a number of the African countries present that a certain portion should be used to add to the impact within Africa as well. There was also a call for private sector to continue to be involved, because the environment and conservation is not only to the benefit of the public. Every company, essentially, if you look at it, utilizes our environment for its benefits. Mm. So it is a call for private sector to find innovative ways to join with NGOs and to join with communities to ensure that we really do work that is impactful to our people and promote both the communal development side of issues, but also the sustainable use and conservation of our natural resources.
Good. So as a final comment, is the only or one of the first countries that have written conservation into its constitution, right?
That's correct. We are actually, as Namibia, accredited as the first country worldwide to ensure that conservation is embedded and the rights of communities are embedded. Other countries have since followed suit, but we are a light bearer on that front.
Fantastic. This is all very exciting. Thank you very much, Sipiwe, for talking to me. And until the next time, our listeners will also remember that I've interviewed David Wood before on the wildlife credits. So it's good work that these guys are up to. Thank you very much, Sipiwe.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Thank you, Namibia.